Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Saturday, May 2nd, 2026. And as I say that out loud, I want to give a shout out to my brother, Michael. Happy birthday to my brother, Michael, because it is indeed his birthday today. And I still haven't texted him. I'm going to have to do that after the show. Now, of course, we don't usually go live on Saturdays, but it's a little impromptu episode here this morning. Also have some programming notes to discuss with you guys. Little channel update, little scuffle we've ran into. We'll touch on that at the very end. But we're going to come on here and talk kind of singular focused on Anthony Volpe because the situation going on right now about what's to come on Monday, we don't know what's going to come on Monday. Yankees have a decision to make. It's quite fascinating, chat. So we're going to get into all of that. But speaking of programming notes, one off the top, if you didn't hear me mention this yesterday in the watch party, the Morning Yankee Show is now 5 days a week. So Monday through Friday, we will be live early in the morning. Not sure exactly what time we'll start the show. I've been doing 8 a.m., kind of works better on my schedule doing it that way, but let me know if there's an ideal time to go live throughout the week. But here we are with, yes, an impromptu Saturday morning episode. Chat, hope you're all doing fantastic. And of course, we'll be live for game two against the Orioles this afternoon. It'll be Ryan Weathers on the bump versus, who was it for Baltimore? Let me see really quick. There's another left, Kyle Bradish. It's Kyle Bradish today. So, Weathers versus Bradish. Anyways, we're not here to discuss that. We're here to discuss Anthony Volpe. And let's just set the stage really quick, Chad, if you're not familiar with what's going on. So, of course, he's been rehabbing down at, or in the minor leagues. Right now he's with Somerset, and he'll be with Somerset through the weekend. Come Monday, or rather come the end of Sunday, his rehab clock, his 20-day rehab clock will be over. And by the time Monday hits, the Yanks will have to make a decision. He'll be activated. It's a matter of after they activate him, do they call him up to the big leagues or do they option him down to AAA for the first time in his career? Now, we know Jose Caballero, including last night, this continues, he's been utterly terrific. He's now over his last 15 games in .358 with 3 home runs. OPS in the season is up to .732, a 105 WRC+. Plus. So he's above league average hitter now. And we know he's been a rock on defense. 7 defensive runs saved, by the way, which leads all shortstops in baseball. He continues to be incredible at the plate. It continues to really have shored up the defense up the middle. And you see this play from last night. This was another example of him just being incredible. And in regards to the defense, now, you kind of figured Caballero would be a good defender. He has been throughout his career. But there is just an added level, it feels like. I'm not sure if it's IQ compared to Volpe. And for those that are new, I always get a preface. I'm not a Volpe hater. I'm fair. I'm rooting for him. But just acknowledging the facts, the bottom line is Jose Caballero just looks like a shortstop. And especially as of late, he's really fit the bill of what we talked about with what a shortstop should be, where if a ground ball is hit to your shortstop, you can just close your eyes. He's a rock, plays made automatically. That's what Caballero is feeling like lately. And while Volpe has been elite at times, last year that obviously wasn't the case, even when he's going great, when he's not, there's a difference between Volpe making a play and Caballero making a play, especially the guy that we've seen at shortstop over the last couple weeks. It just feels like, I mean, he's a shortstop. I feel like there's no better way to really put it than that. I'm sure there is a better way to put it than that, but that's what comes to my brain. He's just a shortstop, and it's going very well for Caballero. So that, of course, has, you know, the question many people have been asking. It seems a lot more realistic over the last week that it could actually come down to the Yankees choosing to kind of stick with Caballero and option Volpe down to AAA. Again, Monday's when the decision is, so we don't know what the situation is just yet. For now, we just know he's at Somerset through the weekend, which Yankees AA Philly, for those who don't know. I want to play this Boone soundbite because this was actually quite interesting. This was before yesterday's game, so we didn't have much of a chance to really go over it on the watch party, but take a listen to Aaron Boone. The question he was asked by Meredith was pretty much, why hasn't Volpe been called up yet? What more do you need to see from Volpe before making the decision? And just listen to his tone of voice. Listen to, I mean, you'll be able to pick up what I'm putting down, Chad. Take a listen.
I just think, you know, just where we are right now in time, I don't think it hurts to have some more runway for him. You know, Cobby's obviously playing very well for us. So I just want it to be a situation where, you know, we're giving Anthony every chance to come in and be successful, but also, you know, taking note of what's going on with our club as well, and, you know, feel like Anthony's in a pretty good spot and had a good rehab here, you know, especially over the last couple of months, but now getting into games. And we just want him to, you know, because we feel like he's going to be a big part of this team, we just want when that time comes to give him the best opportunity to be successful.
A lot of fluff there, chat. A lot of fluff, which is nothing new for Yankee postgame interviews, whether it's Judge or Boone or whoever. There's so many things there. So what really sticks out to me is Boone saying him getting more run in the minor leagues does not hurt. Now, when do you say you think, like, when something does not hurt, when do you say that? It's more so like a supplemental reason on top of a reason that already exists. Or in the case with Caballero, Boone acknowledges, and that's another part of that soundbite that's interesting, when asked about what do you need to see from Volpe, he kind of just goes on to start complimenting how good Caballero has been, which is absolutely the case. He mentions how it doesn't hurt. And in fairness, the Yankees did say Volpe would need right around 50 to 55 at-bats in their minor leagues. He's like just under 40. So under that timeline, I mean, you know, technically it makes, I mean, they could run it through this rehab clock. And at the very least, that appears to be what they're doing. Through Sunday, let's say, maybe they're just looking to see, all right, let's give this to the very last second to see if we truly believe Caballero is the way to go. And the way it seems right now is that they're leaning Caballero is the way to go. And you could hear it in Boone's voice. Brian Cashman talked about it. Now, he's been very much adamant that it's Boone's decision. And that really does seem to be what the situation is with the Yankees, by the way. Boone does make the lineups. He makes, it's a group effort, as they say. But, you know, ultimately, the lineup is his call. And it seems like, to a degree, like it would be also up to Boone as well with Volpe, which makes sense. But Cashman did say, we'll ultimately make the decision when we think it's best for not only him, talking about Volpe, but for the club. And that's ultimately what this comes down to. This isn't a conversation of what's the smart decision. What's, like, the title is, are the Yankees about to make a surprising move with Anthony Volpe? It wouldn't be surprising in terms of what should happen. We know, I know, and this is nothing against Volpe, but you got a good thing going right now with Caballero. And Caballero has been kind of not pleading his case in the interviews, but he hasn't really backed off on talking about, like, yesterday Meredith was mentioning how when asked about playing shortstop every day and just knowing what he's going to be, he's every day, same position, playing shortstop, how that has helped him. And just the way he's been kind of talking, he's fighting for it. And in the case of Volpe, while he's looked decent at the minor leagues, what's obvious is the Yankees right now are a better team with Caballero at shortstop than they've been for the most part with Volpe as a shortstop. Now, again, the defense has been decent at times for Volpe. There's times where he's been elite, but it's not even about the metrics. It's not even about, you know, great plays like we saw Caballero make last night, great plays that we'll see Volpe make last night, or not last night, throughout his career. Jeez. He just looks like a shortstop. And then you get into the offense. We know about the stats over the last 15 games. We know how great Caballero's been, so I don't want to harp all much on that, but you can get into the team chemistry side of things. It's just working. It is flat out just working. The Yankees, it seems like, are seeing that and may actually go the route of optioning Volpe come Monday. And if they do, it's not a nail in the coffin for Volpe by any means. It's not. And again, while it's like an obvious decision, it would be, I think, one of the most bold decisions the Yankees have made in the Judge era. If they do option Volpe on Monday, if not the boldest, since this kind of like turnover in regime philosophy, not personnel, but the way they operate. Let's just say from the time they hired Aaron Boone, this all kind of started, not with Boone, but when they fired or let Girardi go. That's when we were going in a different direction, obviously. Since then, this would be the most notable, like, change in tone of what they think, change in, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, this would be, I believe, the boldest decision they've made of the Judge era, if they do indeed send Volpe down. And again, it wouldn't be a nail in the coffin for Volpe. It wouldn't be. But it would kind of put a bow on at least this part of his career, the idea of he's the future shortstop of the New York Yankees. If they option him on Monday, it kind of puts a bow on the fact that he has been a massive disappointment. I'm not picking on him. I'm rooting for Volpe. I think he could come back and produce for us. I've always said, like, the Yankees are a better team if, you know, he comes back and puts an OPS up that's above 700 while playing good defense at shortstop. That's the main thing. And then, you know, having Caballero on the bench would be nice. But who wants to do that right now? It's working with Caballero at short. So I think this is a possibility. And listen, like, I think Volpe has still plenty of, not time, I don't want to phrase it like that, but he has the option to figure out his big league career. This is not about, again, nailing the coffin on him being an official bust, but in terms of him being a bust as the Yankees shortstop of the future, like, that is essentially, come Monday, if they option him, that's over. Doesn't mean he won't ever play shortstop again. Doesn't mean it couldn't work out. Guys are late bloomers. And I'll tell you, I mean, obviously Lombard's a part of this conversation as well. He's the future shortstop of the Yankees. But I anticipate Jazz will leave in free agency, so Volpe will probably be, if I had to guess, a second baseman next year. Once Lombard is officially up, whether that's to begin next season, at some point this year, which I don't think it would be at shortstop, but let's just say it's end of April, whatever it may be, Lombard is your shortstop of the future. Probably you're starting shortstop very early on next year. Jazz, I anticipate, will leave in free agency, so you probably have Volpe playing second. So, again, this is not like the end of the story of Anthony Volpe, but just in regards to that storyline, the one that began 2022 in the minor leagues when he went off and really put himself on the map. He was a first round pick, 30th overall in the 2019 draft. And remember, he was, I mean, not that we need much remembering on here, but some people were asking about like how highly touted Volpe was that are like newer fans. He was highly touted. That number five ranked prospect line you see, emphasis on in MLB, not in the Yankees system. He was the number five prospect in all of baseball entering the 2023 season. And going into that spring, remember, it was Oswald Peraza who really had the leg up on the starting shortstop job. Well, he was abysmal, and Volpe was not. Volpe broke onto the scene and hit over 300, looked really good that spring, and despite never playing a game in AAA, made the team as a starting shortstop that season. And since then, while there's been some upside, there's been some good starts, there's been, you know, a gold glove 2020 season, good defense at times, he's been a massive disappointment. And I feel bad for him, actually. I really do, because now this feels real. This very much feels real, which is why I wanted to come on here and do a Saturday show. I also love Saturday shows. It kind of reminds me of Mike Francesa doing like a Sunday show, or like Evan Roberts used to always have his Saturday show on WFAN. I'm a big fan of it. I love this show, Chad, again, 5 days a week. But I think if I had a guess right now, and we'll be here covering when it happens, if they were to option him. But I think they will, is where I'm leaning at least. And that would be a statement, yo. That would actually, we keep talking about what Michael Kay is saying about the urgency with the Yankees, and I've been pushing back a little bit, saying, no, it's just because they have options to do so. In the past, they didn't. And Volpe is an example of that. They didn't have other alternatives, really, at shortstop, at least on the roster, of course. But talking boldness, talking like urgency, talking like just not caring what, whether it be the player thinks, or really just doing what you have to do to win, this would be far and away the biggest example of that if come Monday Volpe's optioned. And, you know, I had this VO ready, video only. When you play a soundbite, it's an SOT, sound on tape. One of the many benefits of working with Chris Rose all these years, he's mentored me on the terminology of the industry and many other things in life. But I just wanted to have this VO ready because, I don't know, like I love Volpe. And I was watching this Grand Slam back yesterday, and I know we lost a series, and at the time we were down 3-0. Like, whenever he does well, it gets me very excited because I love him. Like, last year when he hit this home run against Garrett Crochet, and it was like, yo, Volpe, October killer. Ended up having a really bad series against Toronto. But I love Volpe, and I was rooting for him so hard to be the guy. But it kind of seems like that ship has at least sailed for now. But you would like to think if Volpe has, you know, the attitude of an athlete that will do well, all this shit will, not to be corny and cliche, would motivate him. And he's seeing this and he's listening to some badass motivational music. I mean, think of how weird this would be. They option him. He'll go to AAA. He won't stay in AA. If he goes to AAA, I mean, he'll play shortstop, but he's going to be playing alongside George Lombard. And every day he'll be reminded, that was me 3 years ago. Like, that was supposed to be me. And that's sad. That's like, would be a terrible feeling. But if I was Volpe, I would be like, that'd feel even worse to look back on this and think, I didn't take advantage when I still could. He still can turn his career around. May not be as a starting shortstop of the Yankees anymore, but it could be as a second baseman next year. And eventually, of course, with another team. For now, it's very much still, you know, he's going to play a role with us at some point this year. Like, Volpe will be up, don't get me wrong. But it's more so about what Monday would mean if he is indeed optioned. And it would be, again, the boldest move the Yankees have made in a long time. And not being a punk, you guys, I've made it clear. I like Volpe. I'm rooting for him. He's been a disappointment, but I'm always rooting for him. That's the way to go, is to send him down on Monday. The Yankees are taking it up to the last minute. Sunday's when his rehab clock expires, and they're going to see maybe if Caballeros is still hitting the way he's been. Or, you know, obviously situations could occur where there's an injury and it makes more sense, given a certain circumstance, to call Volpe up then. But this is where we're at right now. Yankees have a decision to make on Monday, and it might be one that is at least in regards to how they've typically operated, very surprising. So it's pretty fascinating. Pretty, pretty fascinating. Again, the Boone answer was so telling between the way he was talking, the words he used, him taking the angle of just kind of gassing up Caballero and asked about Volpe and him saying, oh, it wouldn't hurt to get him more run. You only say it wouldn't hurt if, like, that's not how you say when, you know, there's already a circumstance that implies you're headed a certain direction. I feel like yeah, it wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt what? Because you have a shortstop that is doing pretty damn well right now and you want to keep running him out there? I don't blame you. I don't blame you. This seems to be where we're headed, chat. Let's move on to this. Will Warren, we got to discuss him because last night, yet again, he was absolutely terrific. 6 1/3 innings versus Baltimore, 3 hits, 2 runs, just 1 earned run because you had the Grisham error in center field, a rare mishap by him. 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. He now is 4-0 on the season in 7 starts, 2.39 ERA, which that 2.39 ERA is the 7th best ERA in the American League. Yankees now have, we mentioned the other day, 3 starters in the top 10 in the AL and ERA. Now it's 3 starters in the top 7 with Warren continuing to just, I mean, this is very much real now. The stuff yesterday, and I liked a lot of the comparisons people have been bringing up to me about Michael King. I mean, the stuff, the way the sinker was moving yesterday, the sweeper was absolutely disgusting. And a big thing with Warren has been the improvement of command. The walks per nine has decreased dramatically. Last year, walks per nine, he was at a 3.6. This year, sub 2 at a 1.91. And by the way, that's something with this Yankee team that has significantly improved this year to last. Significantly improved, almost to the point where I'm embarrassed we haven't talked about it, Chad, from a unit perspective. Last year, walks per nine, the Yankees had the 23rd worst walks per nine in baseball at a 3.48. 3.48 walks per nine they averaged. This year, second best in walks per nine at 2.79. So down from 3.48 last year to 2.79 this year. And that obviously plays a massive role for Will Warren, for the Yankees as a whole. You know, we're still going to give up home runs here and there, although the Yankees have been pretty damn good at preventing the long ball as well, pitching staff-wise. But home runs are going to happen. You want them to be solo shots. And more often than not, they have been. Like, even Camilo Duvall, this is something that I'm about to say right now that I would, like, shy away from in the past, be like, oh, it's going to come off like a shill. Not to be like, oh, I don't care what you think, but it's just like, it's the truth, yo. Like, this is what it is. And yes, I lean optimistic, so whatever, but like, Camilo Duvall, can we acknowledge how good he actually has looked outside of, and I know this sounds ridiculous, I talked about this last night, but if you take away the home runs that he's given up, which have been solo shots, Camilo Duvall actually has looked really good. There was a clip of the Orioles announcer yesterday saying, watching Duvall pitch, and he's like, yo, how does this guy have a 6 ERA? And that's totally fair. Now, yesterday he looked really good. It was kind of like the outing in San Fran in the first week of the season, first series where he just looked incredible. It's like, holy shit. Obviously, it's been pretty rough for Duvall, but more so just because of, you know, he'll come into these one-run games, like against Kansas City or against the A's, a similar situation happened. And his job is to maintain that lead, so I'm not bailing him out here. But what I've been saying is I don't stress that much about Duvall coming in when it's a multi-run lead. And I'm not saying yesterday where you just want to get him some work, Yanks are up 6-2. Like, if it's a game where it's 4-2, I am not so much stressing bringing in Duvall. Like, I would be if it's 3-2, because he's clearly been prone to giving up the long ball. But his command has improved tremendously. And I think we're headed in a good direction with Duvall, because his stuff does look great. And the big thing with him has always been command. And that actually is much improved this year. I believe it's only 2 walks they said he's had on the season so far this year. Also, I just realized, I did not plan this that well. The lineup's going to be coming out soon. But let's keep talking Will Warren. So, his ground ball rate has also increased significantly. He's up significantly. This sounds minor, but it's not. He was at a 42% ground ball rate last year. He's up to a 47.5% this year. So, just near what is considered to be like the line of demarcation to be a ground ball pitcher is 50%. But regardless, with how good his stuff is, and the K per nine is what would we say the K per nine's at? K per nine's almost near 11, which it was in a good spot last year too. But this year, it's taking an even further leap. So, like, with his stuff and already being in a spot where, all right, he's not allowing hard contact, he's striking batters out at the rate he was last year, but better. And then you factor in he's also getting more ground balls. I mean, that's the makeup of a pitcher that's going to keep ascending into what he's become, which is a guy that has a 2.39 ERA, the 7th best in all of the American League. And, you know, I think Will Warren is, if you were to take one line and base it around one player, why the 2026 Yankees are different on the whole entire roster. I think, you know, you can go with Cam, you can go with Rice. There's many different options to go to, but if we were to, you know, try to come off as geniuses here, which I am right now, it would be look at Will Warren's season. Because that in itself, just on its own, knowing he's ultimately like the fifth starter once, you know, Cole and Rodon are back. Our fifth starter has the seventh best ERA in all the American League. And it feels legitimate. It is legitimate. The stuff is legitimate. And this guy is not going to get a start in the postseason if all adds up. And that means, you know, health, assuming Cole returns. I saw a comment. I'm not sure who it was in the live chat yesterday, but it was a really good comment about Cole. And we've talked about Cole, like, you know, no matter who it is, coming off of Tommy John, we've experienced with Jordan Montgomery, Jameson Taillon. You got to be patient when a guy's coming off of TJ. And the main thing is he just gets through it healthy, at least early on in the season. Like, I'm not willing to say we should temper our expectations, but at least early on for Cole, we should. But there was a comment that I really liked where it's like, the guy was kind of, we were kind of talking about that last night in the chat, and somebody said, I honestly think Cole is going to have an ERA like over four this season, but he'll still be good to be Gerrit Cole for one game or two games. And that's kind of how I see it as well, to where there's, I think, going to be a world where Cole is struggling for a bit, and there will be conversations about, like, and there will probably be ridiculous conversations, unless like Cole comes back and has an ERA like over six, that's different. But it's going to be, you know, a process of him coming back into form. And it may look ugly at times. Like, there may be a start where, you know, we're called back-to-back out and his Cole gives up five runs. And people are going to be saying, I don't know if I want Cole pitching in the postseason, give the ball to Will Warren, which, you know, I could forgive one for thinking that. But in the end, Gerrit Cole is still Gerrit Cole. So, like, I would not be shocked if entering the postseason, Cam, ERA sub three, Fried, ERA sub three, Will Warren, ERA sub 3.5. Ryan Weathers will be in the bullpen no matter what come October, barring injury, but you know, he's been really good. He's pitching today. And Gerrit Cole has the worst ERA in the Yankee staff entering October, almost by far. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if his ERA, because of the adjustment coming back from TJ, is above four. But going into a postseason start, I would still be like kind of banking on him to, even if the regular season was great or not great, him being good for six innings, one run, seven innings, one run. He's still Gerrit Cole. I just want to mention, I really like that comment yesterday where it's like, I think Gerrit Cole's going to have an ERA over four, but he's still going to be good for that one game. That one game you need, whether it's Game 2 of the ALDS or Game 7 of the World Series. Who knows? Like, I'm always going to trust Gerrit Cole. And him being chubby is no impact on that. If anything, it makes me feel better about it. But anyways, Will Warren, absolutely terrific. And let's hear from Will Warren, because I posted this on Yankees Avenue, the Instagram. Yankees Avenue, I sent it to official. I just really, really like this dude. He had a few good answers last night. And, you know, when you're pitching well, you're in a good mood. And he was last night, obviously. And he should be. He's freaking balling out. Not much here to go off of. Just like, yo, Warren, you're a badass. Take a listen.
On your mind at all that with Rodon 10 days away and Gerrit not far behind, pitching well is the way to keep in the rotation when more bodies arrive?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we're going to have the best staff in all of baseball when they come back. And so, you know, the best pitchers are going to pitch the majority of the innings. So I just got to make sure that I keep going out there and doing my job.
That, voice crack, man, it's been such a good show. Why did that have to happen? That is the look, the sound of a dude who's establishing a track record. You see, while he was giving his answer, when he looked the reporter dead in the eye, like, he's feeling himself a little bit. And he's not coming off like a tool, which some people can when they start to, you know, play well. That was a great answer. Because Warren is a very, clearly, like, a humble dude, classy dude. He didn't shy away from, like, I want to stay in the rotation. I got to make sure I keep pitching well to ensure I don't go to the bullpen, which, by the way, he's not going to the bullpen. Like, Warren's going to stay in the starting staff no matter what when Cole and Rodon comes back. Besides, come October when you only need a four-man staff, and then when he does eventually go to the bullpen come October, the stuff will absolutely play, as will Ryan Weathers. He's up there with, whether it be the prospects that we have, Ben Rice, his development, even just finding a guy like Caballero and the success he's been having, or in the past, their ability to, you know, convert relievers into really high-end bullpen arms. But forget that last line. More so just the current state of the Yankees. Will Warren is a big part of why things are different right now. And I want to be specific when I say different. I'm not just saying that we have a chance this year. We've talked about that a lot, and we'll continue to talk about that. With Warren, it makes you feel like the Yankees know what they're doing, which is awesome. Right now, Chat, I feel like the Yankees know what they're doing, and I trust the Yankees. They are just shooting out these pitchers that, I mean, we'll see what Elmer actually is at the big league level, but regardless of his success with us, he could be a trade asset. They have guys that we don't even know the name of that have a sub-2 ERA in the minor leagues that could help put together a deal. Now, we're not going to be trading Will Warren, absolutely not, but more so just seeing the success he's having at the big league level. And this goes with everything, like even just last year, having him get a full 33 starts. And for the most part, last year, he was pretty good. And, you know, we always talk about the three starts against, two against Toronto, one against the Dodgers, which you can't take out, but they really did inflate his ERA. Take out those three starts, his ERA probably is like in the mid-threes. He was, for the most part, really reliable last year. But, you know, it's another example of many things. No year is going to be the same. Just because Will Warren had a 4.44 ERA last year doesn't mean he will have that exact same ERA in 2026. Like, running it back, and this, I have another point after this. This will say brief because we talk about it a lot, but like, it was not a guarantee that everything would transpire the exact same way it did last year. Because if we believe that, then that means we're going to have a 94-win season tied with the Blue Jays and get bounced by them in the American League East or in the AL Division Series just the way it happened last year. Nothing is going to remain the same, and that's how it goes in life. Change is inevitable. Will Warren could have been worse this year. The same thing applies on the flip. It's like, you know, it's not a guarantee everything happened the same way it did last year, and we could have said that about maybe Cody Bellinger would have regressed. He actually starts needing him for a little more power, but his on-base is in a good spot, Bellinger. Anyways, Will Warren has been terrific. That's a big improvement last year to this. But also, shit, what was I going to say? My second point was better, too, and now it's I freaking forgot it. But I'm trying to think. Oh, man, I would have cooked, too. Well, we'll just keep it general on the standpoint of seeing it through with the way the Yankees did. Oh, here's what I'm going to say. Like, we fans don't always know what is actually the smart thing to do. I don't go to many games. The Clo Dog's going to a game today. She's getting her bobblehead. She's probably listening right now. Shout out to the Clo Dog. First game I went to in 2024, I went to two games. I went to I was 0-2 on the year they went to the World Series. I went to the home opener. They lost to Toronto. Marcus Stroman actually pitched pretty well that day. And then the second game I went to was old Timers Day, I think it was, when Will Warren pitched, and he got rocked. And his first year was not great, and like people would be saying a bunch of things about him, and not saying you shouldn't be frustrated. Forget fans being emotional. That's not even what I'm talking about. I get emotional, obviously, too, but like, you watch him initially pitch year one in 2024 over like that handful of starts, and it's like, well, this guy doesn't look all that great, and he didn't. He didn't, but he can get better. He got better last year, and at times last year, you'd be like, oh, Will Warren just, he's fine, but like, he just may not be it, yo. Yankees didn't think so. At the time, we may have been saying, like, what are the Yankees seeing Will Warren? Like, what are they doing? Well, it seems like they know what they're doing. And it's a good thing they saw it through, because right now he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. And no doubt about it, I would say. I mean, I'm sure every team has one guy that they would make their case for, but I would say it's pretty fair to call him at least one of, if not the most underrated pitcher in all of baseball. So, Warren, you're freaking awesome. 4-0 on the season now. Win-loss still does it for me, man. It's not, you know, a way to determine. You don't ever want to compare pitchers. Like, Will Warren's not one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball now because of his 4-0 record. But when he got the 2.39 ERA, it is a nice little added cherry on top to see 4-0. It's like last year, Fried and Rodon. Really good seasons, no matter what their win-loss record was. But Fried had a sub-3 ERA. You throw a 19-win season on top of that, it's like, yeah, word. It's just like, it's such a good old lead. You look at the back of the baseball card, it's like, oh, that's an ace. It's cool. Carlos Rodon. ERA just above 3. Batting average against is great. Really good whip. The best season of Yankee career. Little added cherry on top. You won 18 games. It just feels so. It's like, you know, some things still hit the way they used to with baseball. And, you know, there's many examples of that. High Sox being one of them. Win-loss records being one of them. And home runs being one of them. We got a couple of those last night. Ben Rice, 3-run shot. Not going to talk too much about him today. But anyways, that's going to wrap up this show. So reminder, Monday through Friday, this show will now be live. Probably still going to stick with 8 a.m. unless you guys have a different time suggestion. With it being a 5-day-a-week show, the episodes will probably be a little bit shorter. Like, this one is a... We just hit 30 minutes. This one's quicker than... It'll probably be 35 to 40 minutes. But, yeah, Monday through Friday, this show will be live. I'm freaking stoked. I love doing it. Now, programming note, I can't go fully into detail on this yet because I'm still figuring it out. But we have run into a slight little issue with my ability to post game highlights just as they are. And I'm going to put out a separate video figuring this out. But for now, highlights are going to have to be on a little hiatus. They're going to be on a break. I'm not sure when they will be coming back. I'm hoping at some point I'll be able to do them again. But pretty much it's something to do with MLB. And I knew this day would be coming where it's not John Boy's fault at all, by the way. Not at all. If anything, that could be our way out of this chat. But, you know, now that Yanks Dev is technically in like the official, it's more like official. It's not just like a fan page. Even though I do chop up those highlights a lot and like I kind of make them into my own little movie, in the end, it's not my footage and the footage is not being transformed. So with that, you know, MLB posts their highlights. They have a deal with ESPN to post, you know, game highlights along those lines. It's pretty much an area that they have covered. And as of right now, I don't have the ability, you know, that like it's an official thing to post highlights. They just get a, like I'm not able to post them as the current moment. So I'm going to address this fully once I know the entire situation. But just letting you guys know here on the show, for now, game highlights have to go on a little hiatus. But I'm going to try to figure it out. But for now, that is what the situation is. And I know it's disappointing. I know a lot of people are here for that, which I totally understand. I'm going to try to figure it out. But just, you know, keeping it real with you guys for now, that's the situation. And I'll do a more in-depth explanation at some point this weekend, as opposed to probably as a regular video. But just to keep you guys in the loop. Game highlights, I'm not going to be able to post at least for a little bit. I mean, essentially, like, indefinitely, until further notice more so, but we'll see. Anyways, thank you guys so much for being here. Obviously, we'll be live on later today for game two, 1:35 first pitch, Ryan Weathers versus Kyle Bradish. First pitch, 1:35, we'll be live right around 1:30. It's a little bit cloudy out today, chat, but I'm going to go to the gym, BS a little bit, and see you guys in a few hours. Thanks so much for tuning into another episode. Again, Monday through Friday, we'll be live at the show, now 5 days a week. And yeah, enjoy your next couple hours, yo. It's a beautiful Saturday in terms of vibes. No sun, but see you guys in a few hours for game two, Yankees versus Orioles in the Bronx. I'll catch you guys later. Let's go, Yanks.